Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. It's Wednesday night. We're going to have a really, really modified version of Kenny and Rob Injury Conversation podcast. I seem to be having major technical difficulties with the motherboard here. And I hope that what I'm saying is understandable because my guests and co-hosts, when I'm talking to them, the interface problem makes it sound like I'm Alvin and they're part of the group. So I'm going to keep this real short. So what I want to talk about tonight is supervisors' reluctance to accept claims. And when I mean a claim, CA1, CA2, CA2A. Management, that's not an option for managers. I don't even begin to understand where they think they have the audacity or the autonomy to refuse to accept a claim from a injured employee. Now, not in my office, but I've been contacted that here's a situation. An employee understands when, where, date, time, a extremely stressful event while at work took place in her life. Now, again, I stress the employee is aware of the date and time. So what happens now is, but because the event was related to stress, management wants to dictate to her on what type of CA form they will accept from her. And let me say this to you, management has no option as to what form they're going to accept from you. Now, if you've got a good manager, they'll help you maybe if you file the wrong form. But listen, you can have a traumatic injury, CA1, and file a CA2 occupational illness injury and send it to the Department of Labor. If the Department of Labor is not satisfied with the form you sent, they will tell you. Now, I say again, if you have a manager that you feel relatively confident that they understand injury compensation and they inform you you have the wrong form filed, then it would be a good idea to listen. But listen, if you have no confidence in that manager, you can insist that whatever form you file with that manager, they must send it to the Department of Labor. Now, you have to understand, if you send the wrong form to the Department of Labor, it is going to seriously delay your claim. But if you don't have management or good guidance on what form to send, then again, you have to, you know, I'm getting just a little worked up as I talk about this because, you know, I don't understand where management thinks they have the right to tell you I'm not going to accept a form from you. And even though I speak very hard on the subject, you have to remember, if you are not proficient in what it is you're trying to do, by you taking a hard stance, you're going to delay a claim. But let me tell you, if you don't have confidence in management, I'd rather have my claim delayed than have management try to dictate to me which form I'm supposed to file, if that makes any sense to you. In this office, you know, the situation I'm addressing, because it's stress, management has been trained, conditioned, programmed to understand that any issue involving stress, it must have happened over a period of time. They are not, I'm sorry, they are not mentally capable of understanding that yesterday, what happened stressed me out. Therefore, I'm filing a claim on the actions that I was involved in on yesterday. So here we go. Employee filed her CA-1 for stress. Now she's emailed me and told me someone from management told her she's got the wrong form filed. Now, I got to tell you, because the office this situation is taking place in, I would really, really question it. But because you question it, let me tell you, when you file a CA form, that's not a decision that anyone at the post office gets to make for you. That's a Department of Labor. Now, the post office can attempt to controvert your claim. They have that right. They can send additional documents in to help the Department of Labor or steer the Department of Labor in the direction they want them to go. But that's not anyone in the Postal Service's responsibility to make a determination on whether your claim is going to be accepted or rejected. And when they make that claim and they delay the processing of your CA-1 or your CA-2, then that's a federal offense. And I'm pretty sure in a case such as this, the fact that you didn't know, ignorance is no excuse, because you're supposed to know. So now I've got an employee about to redo all her forms and all her papers because management says she's got the wrong form. I say to that fellow employee that the CA-1 is the form that you should file. Anytime you are aware of the date and time of a traumatic injury, that's a CA-1. And sometimes management gets their nose a little bit out of whack because you didn't file it right away. Well, let me tell you something. That's an issue that they can address later. But just so you know, when it comes to a CA-1, if you're interested or you're trying to get COP, continuation of pay, you have to file that form within 30 days. Now, if for whatever reason continuation of pay is not something you require or desire, you have up to 3 years to file a CA-1. So, again, we become so comfortable with the fact of it happened today, file it today. Well, again, very good practice, efficient. But you have to understand, because it happened today, as long as you know what day and time, you can file that CA-1 next week. Now, one would say, if you were injured at work, why would you wait? Well, there are a host of reasons why you might not choose to wait. But again, we have some really dedicated, and I do mean this and I'm not being facetious, we have some really dedicated people, craft members in the post office. And let's say you're working and happens pretty frequently, one of those shelved APCs, GPCs, APCs, I'm sorry, that shelf falls down and hits you in your head. You know, let me tell you something, because I've seen it before. You got a, you know, you get whacked in your head, you didn't pass out, you sit down you walk it off and go right back to work. Now, what happens is, because of your dedication to completing your task at hand, or because of your embarrassment, because you don't want everybody laughing at you, because now you go in the hospital because you didn't work safe. But nonetheless, you go to work. Now you go home, headache comes back. Maybe in the middle of the night, it comes back to the point where you can't stand it. So now you seek medical attention. Just a quick reason why people don't report their CA-1s as soon as they as soon as it happens. But again, it's a excellent practice and a good principle if you do that. But remember, if COP is involved, you have 30 days. You must file it within 30 days. If COP is not an issue, you have up to 3 years to file a CA-1. So stop letting management coerce you into, I need this now. I need this paperwork now. That's not the case. Now, they have management has different requirements that they have to follow, but what they follow sometimes has that doesn't lend itself to you. So I'm going to I know this is our injury compensation podcast, and pretty much that's all we talk about is injury compensation. But I got to make an exception. I got to make an exception to the policy today. I've just been introduced to a way of life where it's share your spare. All right, for my dearest friend Crawford Wall with Kathy DeVos at Ohio Department of Administration Services Equal Opportunity Division. I'm sorry if I'm reading this a little crazy, but the person who was going to do the promo or help with the promo, we got technical difficulties on that end. But I was, can you say hello for a minute?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, no, we're not going to have you talk then. Yeah, because you still, all right.
Sorry.
We'll skip. All right. So what it is share your spare. There's a organization, a foundation.
Hey, how about now?
I think the lyrics are just.
Is this better?
Okay, I must have not been doing the information correctly. But just stand by. It's an organization where they're. I'm going to mess this up, so I'm not going to. I'm not going to attempt this right now. But listen, there's an organization, Share Your Spare, where they are looking for a kidney donor, or looking for donors of your organs. And I am really twisting this up, and I'm going to leave it there for right now. But I promise you, you'll see me wearing one of the Share Your Spare shirts. And as soon as I can get this technical difficulty cleared up, I'll give you a full 2-3 minute promo on this subject. Because right now I can't hear you speaking. Well, I can hear you, but you're coming in really, really, really different. Okay. So, again, I just wanted to talk to you tonight because we had this show set. And because of the audio problems I'm having, I was going to cancel. But I said, let me come on and at least address the audience with respect to. You have to understand that CA-10, because that CA-10 is what's going to line out the sequence of events for you. When I say sequence of events, what happens if you get injured at work? It'll take you step by step through the process. And it's easier for me to say to you, grab a CA-10, keep it on your person, than it is for me to say, try to memorize all of the information that Robert and myself have been sharing with you over the last year. That's not going to happen. But see, if you hear the information and then you refer back to your CA-10, then it will come right to memories, right to your memory on what it is that you should be doing or what your next step in the process should be. And you have to always understand postal management, rather than train their people on injury comp, they just get clever. They get creative. They don't. When I say clever, and not in a good way, they get creative and they try to reroute a process that's already working. They won't learn the process, but they'll learn how to navigate around the process. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But when it comes to injury compensation, that manager don't have the audacity. It don't have the audacity to tell you what you can and cannot file. And when they start to do that, it begins to blur the lines of employment. Listen, I'm going to end my show at a 15-minute mark, but I do thank you for listening. And let me also say that effective, I don't know, probably as a result at the end of this show, the Injury Compensation Podcast is going to be rather sporadic because, and I really hate to say this, but I like keeping it 100 with you. I am in a campaign for a local president and branch president in our mail handlers union in Columbus, Ohio, as branch in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, as the top union person. So I'm going to be focusing on that to the point that we may pick our injury compensation podcast up on a continual basis after the first of the year. But again, we will be sporadic. New events that pop up that we need to get information out to you, I will schedule an injury compensation podcast. But I just wanted to say that to you. So take in mind that we're going to be a little sporadic because I am in the middle of a campaign, and it's going to be anything other than conventional. So I'm going to need to have full focus on it. But I do thank you for listening. And again, if we go away, we will be back. So until we meet again or talk again, this is Ken Hodge for Ken Hodge and Robert Frost on the Kenny and Rob Injury Conversation Podcast. Have a nice evening, everyone.